Welcome back to The Trendline from the SiriusXM studios in Washington, D.C. Here's Kristen Soltis Anderson.
I am joined now by Rich Tao. He is a friend of the show. He comes on our show to discuss his amazing focus groups of swing voters. And this time he's got some insights from Michigan. Rich, thank you so much for joining me.
It's great to be back.
Well, let's talk about what you found. So first, for my listeners who maybe they're tuning in for the first time, tell them a little bit about who these folks are who you sat down in the focus group with.
So we conducted online focus groups in mid-February with 13 Trump to Biden swing voters across the state of Michigan. These are people who voted for Trump in 2016, then Biden in 2020.
And tell me a little bit about big top-level takeaways. What did you ask them about, and what did you learn this time around?
Well, the biggest takeaway for me was that all these respondents thought that Biden should be challenged by other Democrats in the 2020 Democratic primary, that they were not going to give him a free pass.
Now, this is fascinating. So earlier in the show, during my monologue, I talked about a lot of the Democratic primary polling that's out there and how some of it I think is a little bit silly because, you know, it's asking, would you vote for Joe Biden or Kamala Harris or Pete Buttigieg? And I said, you know, realistically, is Kamala Harris actually going to issue a primary challenge to Joe Biden? That seems crazy. How likely is that? So at my firm, we've been asking, you know, would you vote for Joe Biden or someone else? And then we ask, if Joe Biden wasn't running, who would you vote for? Kamala Harris, Pete Buttigieg, Elizabeth Warren, so on and so forth. But your focus group makes it seem like, you know, maybe actually should just be asking by name, who would you vote for? Let's take a listen to your focus group respondents talking about why they're actually okay with the idea of Biden being primaried.
Traditionally, most incumbent presidents running for re-election get a free pass from their party when they run for re-election.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember when Obama ran in 2012 for re-election? He didn't really get challenged. When Bush ran in 2004, he really didn't get challenged. When Clinton ran in 96, he didn't get challenged. So my question is, why are you guys okay with challenging Biden next year?
Everybody should be challenged.
I think it's important if you want to keep Democrats in office, because a lot of his own party doesn't really trust him at this point because of mental problems, physical problems. And I think if they had a different candidate up there, it would be for the good of the party, which should be number one anyway.
I just think there's others that may be more, I don't want to say more credible, but the longevity of a person, I mean, there's never been a president older than him.
Were you surprised at all, Rich, to hear this level of skepticism of Biden 2024?
Well, yes and no. I was not surprised that it existed. I was a bit surprised by the breadth and depth of it I heard. And what was surprising that went along with it was that they didn't have somebody else in mind. It wasn't like, hey, we're really all in for Mayor Pete or Secretary Pete or, you know, for Amy Klobuchar or whomever, right? It was, I asked them, who do you want to run against him? And I got one person, one, who said Cory Booker. The other 12 had nothing. So they are so desperate to have somebody run against Biden in the primary. But in theory, I guess they're not even wedded to a person. They just want him to be challenged. I think that is an important act. He needs to be able to show that he can stand up, that he can speak. I mean, they're worried about his mental acuity. They're concerned about his physical stamina. And so there's a whole level of worry about this. And it goes to something else, Kristen, I should mention about this. I started asking a pair of really interesting questions that month and then the following month, which is, what is the ideal age for someone who's running for president on election day? It doesn't matter who the person is. If you could pick a president of any age to be the president based solely upon his or her age, what age would you choose? And I've asked now a couple of times, and generally the range is like 52 to 54. So early to mid-50s. Then last month, I asked another question, which is, what is the oldest acceptable age for someone to become president? And the ages I'm getting are in the mid to late 60s, like 65 or 68, depending upon the group. So you got Biden, who would be 82 at the next inauguration, coming nowhere near their ideal, and he's a decade and a half past their acceptable age. So you can see why the level of anxiety is as high as it is.
I would love to take a listen to your respondents, because they talked about this like head on, their concerns about Biden's age. Let's take a listen.
Well, this is from experience of working in an assisted living facility. He shows signs of first stage dementia. Even I would even say second stage.
The older you get, the more health plays a factor. And I've seen a lot of stuff on social media that kind of solidifies the facts of his mental health and everything else.
Meaning what? There are concerns that about his mental acuity?
Yes.
I just feel that he's really old, and it gives me, I get kind of irritated when I see him.
I don't worry about him so much physically, but sometimes when he's speaking, he seems to forget what he's talking about, and it's really obvious, and it I don't want to say it frightens me, but it's embarrassing sometimes. It's like, oh my gosh, like, should this guy be in charge of everything?
Yeah, because he looks extremely frail to me. And I swear every time I see him, he looks older. Biden, I worry that he might be gone next week or something. So that's kind of scary to see how frail he is.
You know, a question that comes to my mind is, I think about the State of the Union this year. I remember watching it because I was going to have to go on CNN and, you know, pundit about it. And I remember watching that first 20 minutes and I was texting my Democratic friends going, do you feel reassured right now? And of course, everybody's focused on that moment then about 30 minutes in when he was talking about Social Security and Medicare, and he kind of gets into that, you know, fight with the Republicans who are shouting at him. And, you know, suddenly it does seem like he was, you know, came alive, was more like with it and given as good as he got and all that. But I still got to think, for most Americans, if you tuned into that speech and all you saw were the first 10 minutes and then you kind of tuned out, you were not seeing the same Biden that I think the rest of the pundits on TV with me after the speech were. They were like, oh, he was so vigorous, he was so energetic. I was like, eh. I would still be nervous. Did any respondents specifically mention something like the State of the Union?
Well, so this is Biden's challenge, right? Most of these respondents didn't see any of the State of the Union address. So it's the tree fall in the forest and nobody heard it. So what they're hearing about Biden is little snippets picked up here and there, you know, and or, you know, montages of all the times he didn't get it right, you know, and embarrassed himself. So that's what he's challenged by. I mean, he can give a speech, but, you know, how many people saw the State of the Union compared to the number of voters in the country? And it's a minuscule percentage. And so that's his challenge, is that inside the Beltway, yes, everybody watched it. They opined on it. They had this whole thing about Social Security and the back and forth with the Republicans, as you said. Of course. Yeah, that showed him to be somewhat vigorous. And he stood there for well over an hour and gave a lot of material, right? He performed. And that takes a lot of energy for an 80-year-old. But for the people I'm talking to, that's not reassuring because they didn't see it.
Mm-hmm. Well, then let's talk about the other thing that was a dynamic that came out of the State of the Union that I think is relevant here, and that is Biden's ability to talk about the things he's done. I mean, arguably, if you are a Republican, you don't look at Joe Biden as a president who hasn't done anything. You look at Joe Biden as a president who has done a lot of things that you don't like necessarily, whereas it seems as though the sort of center of the electorate maybe doesn't look at Biden as someone who has achieved a ton, that it has been a more low-key presidency in their view. Let's listen to what your respondents had to say about Biden talking about his own accomplishments.
He lied.
Really? So those statistics were just made up?
No, I personally feel like he's just riding off of the tail end of what Trump did. Because the changes that Trump made, we are now starting to see the effects of it.
He said that we brought more people are bringing home income every day. And I'm just like, okay, then why is the minimum wage still low, and yet prices are still high, and it's getting harder and harder to live off the income we're trying to produce.
I want to believe him, but I don't. I think that some jobs have come back, but a lot of that was because once the pandemic ended, a lot of jobs were just recovered.
So you can really pick and choose the metrics to make yourself look good or tout accomplishments, but a lot of this stuff's not believable.
I think they say prices are coming down. They are, but not on things that anybody wants or needs. And that's a shame.
Yeah.
And just like when they say all these new jobs, well, how many of them are full-time? How many of them pay enough for a person to make a living on and give you full benefits?
So do you think there's any way that Biden can kind of overcome this challenge? If he's running in 2024 and he wants to say, you know, as he kept saying in the State of the Union, let me finish the job, does America want him to finish the job?
Well, the issue is that they don't know that he's done the job. So we played a 2-minute montage from the State of the Union of his touting all of his achievements, his economic achievements in particular. And as you just heard from all those clips, these people didn't buy it. They're not experiencing everything that he's talking about. You know, 54-year low unemployment, inflation coming down, gas prices down from a high of, you know, whatever, $5 down by a buck and a half. I mean, everything that he was touting, they're not experiencing it. They're not seeing it. And so I would argue that this is a failure of communication. This is a failure of understanding where these people I'm talking to are getting their news, and how they're internalizing the news that they do get. To me, it's a far more complicated problem for the president than merely just having facts that he can spew out that again, might be factually accurate, but aren't ones that people are willing to accept because they're not living it themselves. And that gap, that huge gap is his huge challenge, is that they don't know about it, first of all, and when they do hear about it from him, they don't believe it.
Now, my last question, you know, this is very focused around Biden and what are his prospects for 2024. But as that previous respondent noted, you know, Donald Trump exists and he's part of this conversation too. Now, her comment was to say, you know, she liked the Donald Trump economy and sort of feels like Biden has been drafting off of it. To what extent did any Republicans come up in this conversation? And to what extent are any of these voters thinking about, well, gosh, if I'm not really into Biden, you know, what are my other options going to be on the Republican side?
So as you and I have talked about many times, between Trump and Biden, it's the race to last place, right? It's the fifth place team playing the sixth place team, and you got to choose one. So I ask every month, as you know, imagine Trump's running against Biden. The election is tomorrow. Who would you take? So among these 13 people, and admittedly, it's a small sample. I just wanted to hear like where their energies were focused. So among these 13, 10 would take Biden, 3 would take Trump. So that's where they would go there. But importantly, I said, imagine Biden isn't running against Trump. He's running against a governor, mainstream conservative, generic, middle-aged white male. So no specific person, just fitting that silhouette, that bland profile. Compare that against Biden. Who do you take? Biden loses that 8-5. So
wow.
They don't want either one of these people, Kristen. That's the issue. Is that they want neither. They want to start over again with two new candidates, one from the Republican Party and one from the Democratic Party.
Well, we've got a lot of hurdles to overcome before we get to that scenario. That's for sure for a lot of voters. I still believe that we are more likely than not to have a rematch between those two. And when I say that in focus group, people get like this shiver up their spine. Rich, thank you so much for joining me today. I greatly appreciate it.
Thank you.
I've been talking to Rich Tao of Engage.